Well, I am glad that you are here today. When we're done, I don't know how many of you are going to be glad that you were here today. It is scary face. And I'll be honest with you, while y'all are going to meet the deeds that you have done, I'm going to meet the one who died for the deeds I have done. Today, our faith is going to be challenged. I know a lot of you are sitting there going, Michael, you always say that. Well, he keeps on giving it to me, so I got to keep on sharing it with you. My biggest fear is that we all show up every Sunday after Sunday, just the same people we were last Sunday. I can't live with it. I can't live with it. I hope you can't either. Because he has called us to more. He has called us to more. And so we're going to do our feeble best this morning to try to grasp a little bit more. So let's go to our Father in prayer and let's take a look. Heavenly Father, we praise your name. And we are grateful for your mercy. We are grateful for your patience as we continue to pursue Christ, to press on to the goal that we all have. Lord, we've not achieved it. We're not there yet. And we just confess, Lord, our sin, our shortcomings, and the ways in which we miss the mark. But you have given us today. So we pledge today for you. We pledge our lives and our hearts and our faith today for you. So Lord, as we are here, I pray that you use this time for us to see you clearly, to use this time for us to hear your word. And I pray, Father, that we all walk away today with more of your Spirit guiding our steps. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this year we have been focusing on our pursuit of Christ. And in our pursuit of Jesus Christ and obtaining our goal, God has left us a helper. His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ that provides direction, that comforts us when we are having a difficult time, that strengthens our faith to trust Him in everything that the world has against us. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, writing to the church, lets them know how important this is. And again, for us, we tend to comfort ourselves with, well, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get a little more Jesus. I'm going to go to church and I'm just going to get a little more spiritual today. If I can just get a little more spiritual than I was yesterday, I'm in a good place. And the Apostle Paul just blows that up and he says, well, yeah, no. There's two kinds of people. Okay? And as we read this description and as we go through our time together today, we really got to ask ourselves what kind of person we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right. Two types of people. Natural, spiritual. Right? Not some natural who are just trying to get a little more spiritual. Not some spiritual who are trying to dance and play with a little more natural. There are two types of people. Natural, spiritual. The natural doesn't get it. They don't have a clue. They cannot understand what is spiritually given by God and spiritually understood by the Spirit that God has given. The spiritual understands what God has given, believes it, trusts it, and knows that it is a gift from Him. So Paul says, look, here it is. A or B. A or B. And hey, I know where you are. I'm there too. We live in a world with A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. This option, that option, let's look here, let's look there, let's find wherever we're going to find, and let's find whatever we're going to find. And God's Word says, no, one or the other. Now, that natural person, they do not accept spiritual things. They don't. And people today don't accept any more than they did when Jesus was here. Jesus says, I'm the way to God. Yeah, but maybe. He said, no, I am the way to God. No one goes to the Father except through me. That's it. That's spiritual. And the natural says, yeah, but I think I'm gonna be spiritual without the one who gives the Spirit. Now, if you are not rocking with the Spirit of Jesus, what kind of spirit are you rocking with? Oh, come on. Help me out. If it's not the Spirit of Christ that dwells in you, what is it? The spirit of the enemy. There's a lot of spirits. But if it's not the Spirit of Christ, it is the spirit of the enemy. Does Christ share his throne with Beelzebul? Church, it's enough. It's enough. We know the truth. It's time for us to stop messing around and being kind of spiritual. It's time for us to stop messing around and just having a little bit of Jesus. Does Jesus settle for just a little bit? He doesn't. So why should you and I settle for just a little bit? Problem is, we try. It doesn't work. It does not work. But we're still trying. We're still trying. Give me some of that Sunday Jesus. Monday I'm on my own. Give me some of that Sunday Jesus, because I feel good on Sunday. Tuesday, I'm a wreck. I can't even see Jesus. It's so rough around here. Right? And again, I'm not picking on you. I'm just trying to be real with you. Because I want all of us to see exactly what he has said is truth. Look, our faith is challenged every single day, and you and I every single day have to make the choice to believe and trust our Father in heaven, even when our common sense goes against it. Even when my eyes are telling me one thing, I have to trust God. Even when my hands are telling me one thing, I have to trust God. Even when my mind says, this is what I've figured out, and I'm tempted to trust that, I have to trust the mind of Christ. Because, well, God knows. He created my mind and He created my heart. And He knows how dark they can be. He knows what a mess I can get in when I start doing this. So I have to be beside myself. The Apostle Paul said that too, right? Hey, if we're beside ourselves, it's for you. If we seem a little crazy, we're doing this for you. And you and I are going to go out into the world, and some of the decisions we make following the mind of Christ might look a little crazy. Choice we got to make. Chris read for us in Matthew. Chris, what was it? 14. Thank you. Matthew 14. Turn over there real quick. Matthew chapter 14. Let's take a fresh look. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, he sends his disciples away. It's late, there's a storm, so he's just going to meet them on the other side. So what do you do when there's a large body of water between where you are and where you want to be? You walk on it. You walk on it. So Jesus just does what's natural for Jesus to do, and he walks on it. And he's walking across, and the guys in the boat, and they're just sitting there. I mean, they are, you know, pulling the oars, and they're just trying to go all night, and the wind's just beating them against them. And they're not, I mean, they're just right out in the middle, and it's horrible, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and there's Jesus. And what do they do when they see Jesus? Ah! Thank you, Abigail. That's exactly what they did. Ah! What is this? This is not natural. It's spiritual. It's a ghost. Jesus says, it's me. It's me. Walking on the water. Now, you and I see this, and our brains are just going to go, right? Just like theirs. Because that's not natural. Everything I have ever seen, everything I have ever experienced, everything I have ever just encountered in my life says to me, I don't even know what to do with this. This goes against everything that I know. Same with them. But Peter's brave enough because he says, all right, well, Lord, if it's not a ghost, if it really is you, command me. Because if the Lord commands it, it's going to happen, right? He has at least that much faith. Command me, Lord, to walk out to you. I want to be a part of this. Are we not actively pursuing Christ? Are we not trying to be where Jesus is this year? It is such a switch of you and I just trying to live our life and asking Jesus to be with us. That is settling. That is settling. The real key and the real power of his kingdom is where you and I put ourselves where he is. And he's out there walking on the water. He's out there walking on the water, calling us just like Peter to get out of the safety of the boat. Come on out here. Has your boat gotten you across this body of water? It has not. They've been struggling and toiling against the wind and against the waves. Where's the only place where it's just like one of those people movers in an airport? It's with Jesus. He says, here's the easy path. It doesn't look easy, right? It looks impossible. But Jesus doesn't have any problem with the storm. Pew! There he goes. All right, Peter, come. So Peter goes out there. And you can imagine those first couple steps. I mean, just glorious. We're doing this. He's doing it. He's going to where Jesus is. And it still doesn't make sense. I mean, with his eyes, with his brain, this should not be happening. And yet, it's happening. It's happening. Until he looks away from Jesus, and the Bible tells us he looks. What does he look at? He looks at the wind, doesn't he? He looked at the wind. I mean, I'm following Jesus. He's right there. I'm right there with him. Huh? He looks at the wind, and immediately he begins to. Well, now there's reason to fear. I knew it was too good to be true. I follow Jesus and it starts to get difficult. Why? Because I took my eyes off of Jesus. And yes, now it is difficult. Oh, church, you and I are guilty. We're out there and we're rocking along in faith and something happens, punches us in the face, and we take our eyes off of Jesus and we fail. Our faith fails. And what do? We blame Jesus. As if somehow he changed. What changed with Peter? Did reality change for Peter? Did Jesus change for Peter? No. Peter changed. Then his faith failed. And church, you got to hear, you got to look at them. They're in red, okay? For all of us slow ones in the class, they're literally in red. What does Jesus say to Peter when he pulls him back out of the water? Oh, you of little faith. And church, you're just like me, because I want to go, but Jesus, come on, give Peter a break. Peter had the faith to get out the boat. Nobody else had the faith to get out of the boat. They're all hiding in the boat. They're all in the safety of the boat. You're giving Peter a hard time. You are calling Peter a faithless one. And he's out there in the water with you. That's not fair. That doesn't sound right. It doesn't seem right. It's only when you and I understand that those are words of a natural mind, not a spiritual mind. Because when it fails, it is not Christ that fails. Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, we sit here and sing the songs that he's sitting above everything, that he rules over everything, that it's all his. So guess what? Walking on water is not that big a deal. Even when it goes against what our brains tell us, what our eyes have witnessed, he does it. It's nothing. And yet when it fails us, we're like, oh, well, that didn't work. We are of little faith. It's time to admit it. It's time to say it out loud. It's time to say we are not accomplishing the goals of the body of Christ in this world. We are not the hands and feet of Jesus, like we love to sing and say. We're not doing what he does. It's not his fault. He's not the one that changed. Our eyes may have changed. Our hearts may have changed. He didn't change. And we need to hear him look at us and say, faithless one. But Jesus, I'm at church this morning. I can't be a faithless one. I'm here. I stepped out of my comfortable bed and I got up and I came to church. I can't be a faithless one. Who does Jesus drive forward? Peter, the only one with the guts to get on the water, to get out of the boat. Did he say anything to all the rest of them in the boat? He did not. Okay? So we're not going to walk away from this morning saying, well, you know, I'm so much better than all those other people that didn't bother to come to worship today. Uh-uh. We are going to hear the words of Jesus saying, come on. You are so close, but you are far away. Do not settle for showing up to church worship service this morning saying, well, I'm faithful because I'm like Peter. I stepped out of bed and I came to church. So I know I'm one of the good ones. Our Lord and Savior inspects our heart if we let him. His Spirit lets us know what is true. And we let him and just say, you can have it. Have it all. Have it all. I don't want any of it to be me because me is a mess. Have it all. Clean me up. Show me where I am not living right. Show me where I am not trusting you. Show me what I am afraid of in your creation. What is keeping me from being where you are? What are the obstacles that I have put between me and actively pursuing you? I need Jesus to look at me and say, man, you got little faith. Yes, Lord, I do. I do. And I need you to show me where it's at. Because I don't want it. I don't want it. I not only want to be out of the boat. I not only want to be walking on the water. I don't want to be sinking. I want to be dancing on top with you. I want to be where you are. And sometimes we get so close. And sometimes we get halfway there. But there is no halfway there. There is natural and spiritual. There's no middle ground. There is no middle ground. Church, you know that our middle ground, our settling for a kind of spiritual life is kind of like a person who will not confess Christ as Savior and live good. That's their idea of middle ground. You know where middle ground ends up, right? Exactly. So the Christian who doesn't completely trust Christ doesn't submit to him and lives in that middle ground is in the same situation as the heathen who will not confess Christ but just is a good person and doesn't hurt anybody willfully. You see the middle ground? You see why he said it was such a wide path? Why? Because so many people catch it. So many people catch it. So many people that know Jesus settle for staying in the boat. So many people that will not know Jesus settle for, well, I'll just be kind of good and that'll get me in. Turn over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Another familiar, but we need to hear it. Mark 9:14, when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them. Scribes arguing with them, and immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he said to them, "Hey, what are you arguing about with them?" Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, You faithless people. How long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to bear with you? How long are you going to make me put up with your incompetence? What are you talking about? Well, Lord, why are you getting onto us? We're here. We're following you. People are making fun of us just like they make fun of you. People are treating us with the same disdain that they're treating you. We're right here. We're in your team. We're on your team. We're in your club. What are you doing calling us faithless? It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem fair. I mean, come on. Who's casting out demons? Who could do such things? I mean, what you're calling us to is just too much. We can't even imagine what that looks like. What you're calling, you ask too much, Jesus. And then when we don't trust you with it, you're going to insult us and say that we don't have any faith? I so wish this was easier to say, and I so wish this was easier to hear. You think it was easy to be a part of that crew and hear your Lord and Savior look you right in the face and say, "You have no faith"? Yeah, but Lord, this is a really tough one. You have no faith. Yeah, but Lord, it's literally water. You have no faith. These demons are foaming at the mouth over here, Lord. You have no faith. Story continues. Verse 20. They brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell to the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire, into water to destroy him. But if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, So why couldn't we cast it out? And he said, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. I have a love-hate relationship with this story. It's one of my favorites and least favorites at the same time. And the Lord worked on my heart this week because, well, you know why? Because I glorified the Father's response. I've been doing it for years. I glorified the Father's response because I can relate to that. I believe. Help my unbelief. I trust you this much, Lord. Just help me trust you a little bit more. And I felt so good. I comforted myself that said, hey, that's where I am in my faith. And, you know, that's okay because that's where most people are. Most people are doing all right. Some big things come and I really need Jesus. But, you know, I believe enough to get me through most days, right? And I comforted myself with his response. Only problem is, what color are the Father's words? The Father to the guy who's got the demons. They're black. I need to relate a little bit more to the words in red. Because that's my Lord and Savior talking. So I can no longer pat myself on the back and say, well, I'm as good as this dad. And I sure can relate to that because guess what? Does Jesus want that dad to stay where he's at? He does not. He does not. In fact, you faithless people, how long am I going to put up with you? And are you seriously looking me right in the face and saying, if you can do something about this? What's his response to that question? If you can, what does he say? What does he say, church? I want to hear it. I need to hear it. All things are possible for those who believe. Now, you have to fight the natural person within you, the natural man, the man of flesh, the man filled with sin that's in your heart that is fighting for real estate every day of your life. You have to fight that natural person within you, and you just, I know, because you just have a list of reasons why this is not true. Well, surely he doesn't mean all things. We do. Jesus says it, and we stand up. We're the first in line to stand up and say, well, Lord, this is why that is not right. All things are possible for the one who believes. Well, Lord, let me be the first to tell you. Here's my experience in this world that you created. I somehow know better than you, who spoke it all into existence. Let me tell you what I have experienced. And Lord is up there in heaven going, oh, tell me more, wise one. Oh, yeah? Oh, where were you when I made donkeys? Were you there on that day before all days? When I said, this is what a donkey should sound like. Hee-haw! Here's a mirror. Now I know what they look like. We pat ourselves on the back. And we say, we're the good guys. We're the ones on Jesus' team. And we don't believe what he says. Because what does he say? All things are possible for the one who believes. Well, not all things. Not all things. Lord, thank you for the other things because we don't believe in your things. Church, it's time that you and I listen to the words in red when he looks at us and he goes, ugh. God, you faithless people. How long am I going to put up with you? How long do I have to put up with your little faith? Because it is weak and it is pathetic. And I have shown you everything. And I have done everything here. And you just won't believe me. And I just sit there like every good Sunday Christian. And I show up and go, Lord, I do believe. Help me in those areas of my life where I don't. Make me a little bit better this week. Not too much better. I mean, I don't want to be one of them. But just make me a little bit better so I can feel good about myself this afternoon. So I can eat my lunch with a thankful heart and say, God is good. He has called me to a radical thing. Believing him when everything else around, including me, gets in his way and puts up a fight of why it can't be. Michael, I'm not walking on water here. I'm not casting out demons. I mean, I'm not even getting through the day. Loving everyone, extending grace to everyone, being available to everyone, meeting their needs, helping them out, loving them and doing what I can for them. I'm not trusting His command to come. And He says all things are possible. He says all things are possible, church, but here's the thing. I got to stop relating to that poor dad who doesn't have faith. And I need to start relating to the one who says all things are possible because it is His mind that I have been given through the Spirit. I got to stop relating to the dad in the story and going, oh, it's okay, Michael. Your faith is good enough. And I have to start relating to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has poured out His own Spirit in me, so that I can have His same faith in the Father, so that when He says all things are possible, that can be what I believe. Not, well, you know, help me when I don't believe. No. All things are possible because I believe. You see how we're so close and yet so far? I mean, we're just right there, and yet without our faith, we're just, and we're okay with that. We're okay with that. Is Jesus okay with their lack of faith? He's not. Is Jesus okay with them staying in the boat and not going and doing the amazing things that He does? No, He's not okay with that. He's like, come on, trust me, let's go. Let's go. There's no way God could call me to do that. That's scary. That makes me uncomfortable. I might sink. The waves are scary. The world is scary. The enemy's scary. It's all scary. I mean, unless you've been face to face with a demon, I don't know how scary you're worried about. I'll tell you what, if we have the Spirit of Christ, how'd the demons react when they saw Jesus? Until the command was given, how did they react when they saw our Lord? They got a little agitated, didn't they? Uh-huh. You ever agitated a demon? I have. It's kind of scary. That's what our Lord does. That's where He goes. That's what He calls us to do. I got to read you this. So I talked about that movie that I saw and the kid and his quote. I found the poem, okay? I found the poem. The movie was Coach Carter. That was a week or two ago, right? I mentioned that? Yeah. Because the coach keeps on asking him, what's your greatest fear? Well, I found the actual poem, and I'm going to read it to you. Because this was pretty powerful. This is Marianne Williamson. She wrote this poem. She said, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Now, that's not in the Bible, okay? All right. I just thought that was a healthy take. I thought it was a healthy description of what you and I go through. So I wanted to share it with you today. When our faith is challenged, will we trust Jesus? When we became Christians, we trusted Him for the salvation of our souls, right? And every single one of us trusts Jesus that He's coming back and that somehow all that we see here and it's just going to kind of fade away into the spiritual, right? I don't read anything in the Bible where it says, okay, start spiritual, live fleshly, live fleshly, live fleshly, then spiritual. I don't read that in the Bible. I think we have. We're going to start spiritual. We're going to live natural. And then when Jesus comes, and yeah, when He comes, spiritual again. Do you think that's what Jesus was talking about when He said, hey, I'm going away and it's a good thing because I'm going to send the Helper, the Spirit. And He's going to do better work than I did. It's a dangerous thing to raise expectations. I could not do it. We are actively pursuing our Lord and Savior. Well, if I'm going to pursue Him, if I'm going to throw with abandon, if I'm going to follow Him with all that I have, all the faith that I have, I got to know, number one, it's not enough. I need more faith. I need all the faith. I need everybody's faith. I don't want to be the one that says, Michael, you can't walk on water. Michael, you can't trust the Lord when you're face to face with demons. Do you trust the Lord when you're face to face with the demons in the mirror? Do you? Do you trust the Lord when the natural in you needs to be defeated by the Spirit of Christ? No? Not connected? Sorry. How do I say this? Any of you ever overcome sin in your own lives? Was that your power or His power? It was His power, right? Okay, so then why should it be so crazy to think that sin in other people's lives needs to be overcome as well? That should not be strange to us. That should not be strange. However it is embodied, whatever shape it is taking, whatever form it exists in, that shouldn't be so strange to us at all. At all. All right, I'm going to close it out. I know it's been a lot. And I know you're going to, I pray that you chew on it this week. Hebrews chapter 3, okay? This is important. Hebrews chapter 3, and then I'll sit down. And we'll sing again. And this week you'll take it and you'll wrestle and you will actively pursue, or you'll just, you know, find somebody who will listen. Michael's a little weird anyway. I'm okay either way. Really. I love you enough, I got to tell you. But I'll be honest with you. As much as I love you, and I wouldn't be anywhere else, I've been here 25 years, okay? I'm not trying to go anywhere else. But church, I love you too much for us to keep on just sitting here and being the same Christians that we claim to be week after week. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not. And I am not trying to get anybody to work harder so that they'll get to heaven. That's not what we're doing here. We are actively pursuing Jesus. And that starts with being uncomfortable where we're at. I'm not going to pursue anything if I am happy standing right here. If I have a Barca lounger, anybody use that word anymore? You guys know what a Barca lounger is? Thank you, Kathy. A Barca lounger is a recliner. Anybody got a recliner at the house in the living room? Yeah, it's molded to my body. Of course I have a recliner. Church, we are too comfortable with our recliners at the starting line to get up and run the race to make it to the finish line. That's why it's difficult. It is difficult. Because we're here. We're here, and he seems so far away, and yet he says, I am not that far. I'm in your mouth. I'm in your heart. I am right there where my word is spoken. I am right there. Church, we got to have the faith to trust it. Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to close it out here. This is why all of this kind of just crazy faith with abandon that walks on water and casts out demons and just trusts Jesus to be Jesus and then know that he has given us his very own spirit. If we're going to get there, we need to know this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. I hope you're open to it because it'll sting more when you read it yourself. Because you can write me off. That's easy to do. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. You know what? Luke, what version you got? What are you rocking? Will you read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12? Can you read it very loud and proud, please? No, you're good.
Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God.
Thank you. Did you hear that? He did it loud enough. Thank you, Luke. Take care. You better be on guard. You better keep your eyes open. Unless there is in any of you a what? An evil, unbelieving heart. God will not accept us just kind of following Christ. He will not accept us kind of, what does he call it, when we don't believe our Lord and Savior? It's evil. Natural, spiritual. There's no middle ground. Evil, unbelieving heart. Now, I gotta continue a couple more verses. But encourage me too. It's Hebrews. Verse 13. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today. Is today called today? Then we're going to encourage each other. Because this is not all easy. It's not natural. It's spiritual. We got to help each other. So we're going to encourage each other. Today's called today. We still have today. We still have an opportunity to get better, to get closer, to actively pursue. And we need each other. So we're going to encourage each other. So that none of us be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. What keeps us from seeing and following Jesus? It's the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. It's tricky. And it's not just my sin. And for most of us, it's just the sin of the world, right? I don't see the miraculous in this world because the world's so dark. Really? You think it was somehow easier when Jesus was down here doing it? You think the world just somehow didn't need a Savior at 0 BC? No, still needs a Savior in 2025 AD. God made it good. We messed it up. We've been sinning from the beginning. Verse 14, for we have come to share in Christ. If indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. That's why it's important. That's why I can't stop. All things are possible for those who believe. Church, if we walk away from this morning and we just make the confession. Look, if you're not a Christian and you need to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we invite you to do so. But for the rest of us, if we can just walk away from this right here and just say out loud and confess to God, if there is ever an issue, it is not with Him. Because He says all things are possible. That's what He says. So if there's a problem, it's got to be with who? Or whom? Yeah. Yeah. I want to believe, Lord. I really do. And I know you do too, or you wouldn't be here. But just like, who did Jesus pick on? He picked on the one guy brave enough to get out of the boat. So I'm picking on the 70 guys and gals brave enough to get out of bed this morning. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I love you enough not to leave you in the boat. And guess what? I have to hear it too, okay? I'm not your Savior walking on the water going, come to me. No, I'm in the boat with you. I'm in the boat with you going, come on, there's got to be someone else who's brave enough to throw a leg over the side with me. Let's go do this thing. That's why we got to encourage each other, because I don't have it either. I can't do this. He didn't make me that strong. He gave me a big mouth, but He didn't make me that strong. So if you need to come to Christ today, He invites you to the water. And church, He's invited all of us. He's invited us just to believe. Just to believe. And I'm pretty sure we're going to be amazed at what He does. So, we're here. I'm tired, but someone will help you today.